Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Yes, Another Teen Movie. I'm Gemma O'Leary.
And I'm Heather Renzin. Hello.
And since we last recorded, Heather is a year older. She is 30, flirty, and thriving. Heather, how does it feel? Does it feel as good as all the glossy magazines make it out to be? Did your life begin anew at 30? Have you discovered the peak of your sexual power? You're really confident. You know exactly what you want. You don't take any more shit from anyone. You're in control of your life.
Exactly. You know what? I woke up on the Sunday, my 30th, and all of the fucks that I used to give just glided off me, you know what I mean? And just looked more glamorous. Just looked more sexual.
Wow, is that even possible? Listeners, come on. Is it even possible for Heather to be more glamorous and sexual? She already is.
Am I sexual? I turned 30 in the middle of a pandemic with a snowstorm and a curfew. Mm. So it wasn't the big 30-30 bash I would have normally thrown.
Yeah, not exactly the perfect storm for celebrating.
No, but people still they walked for hours, it's not Moses, but they walked for a long time through the snowstorm to get to my birthday party, and they got me a real nice gift, and some friends maybe a video that's meant to be my life as a teen movie, which is very on brand for this podcast.
Oh yes, you told me about this, you still haven't sent it to me. Did they use a backing track? What was the song?
It was a shout out to my ex from Little Mix.
That's a really, I actually really love funny that song. One, but that is, I guess, a real teen movie song.
Well, and it's good.
Before I moved to London, so when I moved from Berlin to London, my old boss and dear friend, shout out to Trevor Piercy, he made me a video of all my colleagues had a little bit to wish me luck in the move to London, and the song was Suddenly I See from The Devil Wears Prada.
Katie Tunstall?
Katie Tunstall, but in The Devil Wears Prada, it's that's when she gets cool living in the big city. She's everyone wants to be her. She's walking down the street in New York in her fur coat and matching gloves. She's nailing the Starbucks order. She gets everyone's Starbucks order right. It's that's when she's a hot girl in the city. And I always thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I wonder why that song wasn't playing on my 30th, just general the soundtrack to my life playing. So, but yeah, Gemma, there's a lot to look forward to. Turning 30 isn't as bad. I think it's the build up. When you turn 29, you're like, "Oh my god." No, when you turn 25, you're like, "Oh my god, I'm almost 30."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're 5 years exactly. into 30. Yeah. And then between 25 and 29, I was like, "Meh, whatever, I'm still young." And then 29, you're like, "Oh my god," I even told the butcher it was my birthday days before. He's like, "Do you want some mayonnaise?" He's like, "Do you want some mayonnaise on your ham sandwich?" He's like, "Go for it, it's my birthday." And he didn't ask what age I turned. I was gonna be like, "I'm 30. But
you were waiting.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "Well, have a good party then." I was like, "Oh, I didn't."
Does no one in the city care about me?
Exactly. I even phoned I don't remember what I phoned, but they were like, "Date of birth, please." And I was like, 7th of February, 1991, almost 30. And
This is very Heather telling her business to loads of really baffled people who are like, "Oh, okay." I'm turning 27 in 2 weeks, so I am actually really dreading that because like you said, it's like, it's the build-up that's scarier than actually getting to 30. And exactly. I guess I feel like I'm now entering my late 20s. And the last year of my mid-20s was just wiped away by the pandemic. And the last year of your 20s in general.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty depressing. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm fine with it. I feel 27's going to feel, I don't know, different in a way. I've never really got used to being 26. I always say 25 when someone asks me how old I am.
No way.
Yeah, always. And I feel like between 25 and 27, I feel like I expect there to be a maturity gap.
A major change.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm going to be join. Probably the next time we record, I'm gonna intro by talking about like mortgages and like the stock market and stuff like that, because my interest is going to completely change, and this podcast is going to become a different thing. It's going to become about mature topics like that. So yeah, not going to be watching teen movies anymore.
No,
too old for that.
This is like a good segue into this the movie we're discussing this week, because I was watching this and then it dawned on me, like, I am not the demographic for this movie. Yes. This is made for teens. I feel like a dinosaur. I feel so old watching this, because I don't care about anything that happens in this movie. Because I am old.
You know the part, like, we're getting into plot now, but this is just seems like a good time to bring this up.
Yeah,
the
go
part,
for it.
The
Fuck
part
it.
Where she, the part where she's scrolling through Instagram and there's like people are posting videos of them getting into Stanford, and they're like, oh my god, I got in, and their mom's behind them and stuff. And Ali was like, who the fuck does that? Like, who would be, this is so unrealistic. And I was like, no, Ali, it's probably not. Like, that's probably actually what teens do. And we don't even realize it. Like, it probably is normal to literally live film your reaction of opening your acceptance letter to college. Like, that's probably normal. And we just don't know because we're old. So yeah, it's like you feel old watching it. It's like, I don't understand this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also, Gemma, can I ask you a question? Can you hear my washing machine going? Because I can hear it really loudly.
Yeah, I can.
Can you hear
it? Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, fuck. I hope it finishes soon. Sorry, we're still not professional, guys. Yeah, another thing that I noticed in this movie that made me feel really old is that they're cutesy watching a film together. She's lying on top of him and they're watching on a laptop, but they're both wearing like these headphones.
AirPods!
Like, they're both wearing AirPods. I'm like, why? Are you in public? Could you not play it out loud? I'm so confused. Why are they both wearing AirPods? How do you have...
Ali was like, have these people ever heard of a HDMI cable? Like, why are they watching it on a laptop when they're alone in the living room with like a DV? But yeah, it's so weird. And how did they get both of their AirPods to connect to the same movie? That free... I don't know.
Technology is beyond us.
Technology.
In this movie. To All the Boys, part 3.
P.S. What is the real title? What is the real title? Always and Forever.
Always and Forever. What's our title going to be?
Well, our second title was P.S. I Still Love Boys. P.S. I Love Boys Forever. I think that was our original title.
We'll always love boys.
So yeah, P.S. P.S. I'll always love boys. She's very, very... Lara Jean is making a commitment to heterosexuality. P.S. I will always love boys.
Yeah. Keeps no space for the ladies or, like, queerness.
Yeah,
LJ.
Lara Jean, you haven't gone to college yet. You might not have, like, gone through your experimental thing.
Exactly.
Don't cut yourself off to that. Sexuality is a spectrum.
Yeah, wait till you turn 30. The sexuality will come flooding through you and you'll be like, sorry, you missed out. This, like, did they call her LJ in the previous movies? Question for you.
I think so, yeah. I think her sister did.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Because I was like, LJ? For real? Like,
I think they called her LJ, yeah.
Oh, well, to be fair, Gemma, I forgot so much of the other movies. So it starts off with them in Korea. And for the good 5 minutes, I was like, who is this woman that's with them? Completely forgot
the dad
hooked up with the neighbor.
Same, yeah.
So I was what?
For those of you who don't remember, at the end of P.S. I Still Love Boys, the dad got a girlfriend, which was their neighbor from across the street. So Lara Jean and her two sisters and her dad and the girlfriend are all in Korea. And it's the first time that she's ever been to Korea. That's where her mom was from. And they go to like this like clock tower place where the mom left a lock on the railing for the dad, like literally like 20 years ago, and they find it in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, not even 10, like one. It's so stupid. And also, like, you know, these love locks are really bad for buildings.
Yeah, I know that now.
They cut them off in Amsterdam. They're like, no, we're not doing this. People do them on bridges, and just the city council just cuts them away.
Yeah, I know. I left one on the whatever that bridge is called in Paris with my ex-boyfriend. when I was,
God,
like,
you
19.
Basic bitch.
But they've been removed since then.
Yeah. So it has your love.
Yeah, that's very symbolic, sadly.
But so they're in Korea. The dad's girlfriend's there. Kitty, the still even possibly more annoying sister.
Yeah.
I just, like, you know what? In this movie, I just want to secretly pinch her when no one's looking. You know, just give a little pinch and be like, and just whisper like you're not interesting.
You're
in
a horrible
ear, you know
little
what I
girl.
Mean? Yeah. No one's going to love you, Kitty. She's so fucking annoying. But she's meant to be annoying in a lovable way. But I really, like, okay, Gemma, this whole movie, I can't relate to nobody.
Nobody is a likable character. Single character you like.
No.
I quite like her. Well, I guess she's kind of annoying. Like, the girl, the, like, mean girl from the second movie.
Genevieve.
Yeah, I wish she was in it more.
She's just bland. She was mean. Now she's nice.
Yeah, but
there's nothing else to her.
Yeah, like, I get,
no,
yeah.
She, now
yeah.
she has Mean Girl Redemption. She's just a boring person.
It's true, they've just, yeah, now she's just not Mean Girl or Nice Girl. She's just whatever girl. NYU girl.
Just girl.
Yeah, just girl. But yeah, the characters in this film are very over-caricatured. They're very, very hard to relate to. Noah Centineo is just so cringe the way while Peter Kavinsky, I guess, is such a cringy boyfriend. Like, there were moments when I was like, that's cute, but I don't know, it's so over the top and overblown and like, and also like desexualized as well. They're very cutesy couple.
Oh yeah, but like that's what I wrote down. My first note is like, I'm so not invested in their relationship. Actually, I'm kind of disgusted by them. The next line is so sexless. That's like the first note I made.
Yeah.
Because, and it's also, there's loads of montages in it when they're running around eating cookies. It's like, we get it. They have fun. But there's like 100 montages of them eating milkshakes together. It's very childlike.
Lara Jean she's so overly wholesome, you know, like she's always baking with her matching baking kit or like wanting to watch like a teen movie. I mean, that's me as well, but like, you know, like not in a way to laugh at it, in a way to be like, she's just, yeah, and her bicycle, like her perfect bike with the little basket and her little dresses and white plimsolls. She's so overly wholesome and just, you just want to give her a shake and say, like, you know, have a cigarette.
Shoot up some drugs. Go for it.
Well,
go kiss all the
far,
boys.
But, you know, she's just too, like...
It's the way she dresses as well. It's very, so, almost like 50s kind of, like, it's just so...
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, she's so goody two-shoes.
Yeah, I was loving, when they were in New York, I was loving her friend Chris's 70s look with the big hat and like
flare
the flares
trousers.
And the high boots.
Yes,
and then Lara Jean was next to her in that like yellow, like almost floor-length dress with the little white kids, and I was like, ew!
I know, Lara Jean's a boring ass bitch.
Yeah.
And also like their banter between quotation marks, over the top... It's everything is too much and too clean.
Yeah.
And I forgot how rich they were. Like,
oh,
they go on school trips to New York all the way from, I don't know, California?
Portland. They're in Portland, actually. I thought it was California as well. Yeah.
I'm just so not invested in them. Again, this movie's not meant for me because their whole, what makes it, the problem in the movie is something that I roll my eyes at because I am 12 years older. I have had several long distance boyfriends, you know, of which one I live with now. And like, I've had a boyfriend for the past 3 years. Like I am 30. I'm a 30 year old woman. And so the drama in a teenager's life doesn't interest me. I don't care.
you probably shouldn't be doing this podcast then, Heather. This is quite a big thing to admit on air.
No, but some teen movies are good, like Booksmart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Of course.
This movie is so, it's so not, there's Made.com couches at the wedding, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, more Made.com furniture, yeah. It doesn't really have a heart. It's like all style and no substance, you know?
Yeah.
It's all the aesthetic and the, like, it's like, I think it's just reflecting back to teenagers what they think, like, an ideal relationship would be. Like hashtag goals kind of relationship where like, you know, he's insanely hot and like drives a, huge Jeep and turns up at her house in the middle of the night to go for milkshakes. And she's like always like her, she's got a perfect bedroom and perfect stylized wardrobe. And she's always baking cookies. And it's just all stuff that you'd want to Instagram. You know, do you know what I mean? It's like it was created by like an algorithm. The people who are making these movies must pretty good at like knowing what is gonna hit all those dopamine receptors in like teenage brains. Because even Ali was like, God, I hate this film, but the aesthetic is really sucking me in. Like when she had all her little baking tools out on the table and it's like an Instagram flat lay and everything was all like turquoise and matching, and then her perfect cake. Ali was like, it's so nice.
Want to bake, going to kitchen now, need cupcakes.
Want to be like Lara Jean.
Want to wear pale yellow A-line dresses and matching hairbands. But their relationship, it's like the first, I'd say 40 minutes is them being in love.
Yeah.
Quotation marks. Like I said, we get it. They have fun. They're in love.
Yeah.
There's so many bits when she's coming back from Korea and he's like, Hey, Covey. And then, yeah, you would be happy to see. It's like, if I would have watched this as a teen, it would have fucked me up. I'd be like, where's my Peter Kavinsky? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm not baking cookies for anyone for the, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The first, yeah, half hour is just showing them how in love they are, which is so uninteresting to me because I'm not aspiring to that relationship. It sounds boring and unsexy as fuck.
Exactly. Also, you've already got a real life relationship that...
Yes, exactly.
It's not like Instagram perfect, but actually means no. Something.
Oh, are you calling my boyfriend not Instagrammable? No.
Hey, Tone's Instagrammable as fuck. I love all the like stupid pictures.
He's always on my gram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just like, look at my hot boyfriend with tattoos. No.
she is. She really is.
Look at this cookie I baked him.
let's start at the beginning though. So the crux of this film, just like the kissing booth. Too. P.S. I still love kissing. This film hinges on the kind of like, we're going to college. Like, where are we applying? Are we going to get to go to the same place? Like a lot of these teen movies. So obviously it's a very big thing and a big decision in like a teenager's life. So it's no surprise that like so many teen movies choose to focus on it. So in this case, Peter's already got into Stanford because he's got like a lacrosse scholarship. Lara Jean's also applying to Stanford and they have plans to go there together. That's where Vanessa Hudgens wanted to go in High School Musical. Nice reference, Netflix.
Is it one of the Ivy Leagues?
No, Stanford isn't an Ivy League, but it's like as good as like Ivy League schools. I think it's kind of like a standalone, maybe like more science-y type of school.
Wow, you know a lot more than I. I was watching Gilmore Girls and Tone was like, what is Ivy League? And I was like, but I didn't know either.
Oh, you Europeans.
I was like, good school, I guess.
Oh, did you just do the thing where you just learned what something is and now you're like, oh, is it an Ivy League? So they both want to go there. She's like refreshing her like app every day, like seeing if her application's been accepted. She's also applied to Berkeley and
NYC.
In NYC. Because her sister Margot convinced her that she had to apply to like a school that wasn't on the West Coast to kind of like have the potential to spread her wings, like she did going
go
to
Margo.
Scotland. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go Margo. She went all the way to Scotland. So
Scotland. Yeah, she ate haggis and had a good crack.
She fucking ditched Josh's ass in the first movie. So
yeah. Also, what happened to Josh? He doesn't show up at all in this
Who
movie.
Knows?
We completely forgot about him. Was he the last one?
R.I.P. Josh. I don't think he was. No, I think he just faded like into obscurity after Margo broke up with him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they both want to go to Stanford. We need to hurry this up already. She gets home, whatever. her dad proposes to his girlfriend. That's a side plot. So part
Boring.
Of the movie is like gearing up for their wedding. Okay, how does it happen? She finds out that she gets a notification to say that her status has been updated on the Stanford website. She opens the page. She hasn't got in. They don't get letters anymore, apparently.
They reference that. They're like, imagine the old days when people got letters. I'm like, God, way to make me even more old.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
They're self-referencing. They're like, imagine when people didn't have AirPods. They don't say that, but they could have.
So that happens, and
she had an argument with her sister about something stupid. I don't remember what.
It's about not getting in.
Her sister texts, "You okay?"
She has Chris comes over, and they and her and Chris and Kitty FaceTime Margot, and she tells her what happened, and Margot's like, "Oh, it's not such a big deal, like, you know, you might just have to be away from Peter, and like maybe that's not such a bad thing, you know." And she gets really angry with her, and hangs up. And then Margot texts her saying, "Well, we okay?" And Peter kind of texts her at the same time saying, "So did you get in?" And she responds to Peter saying, "Of course, love you." But she thinks that she's responding to Margot. He thinks that she got in, and is really cocky about it. Of course I did.
But then he shows up to her house and they go for pancakes again, or muffins or something stupid at their local diner.
And he writes prom in the sauce.
Like, Laura G has a curfew and she's like 18. I'm confused by this as well.
Yeah, I am too.
Isn't that the chill gynecologist dad? Like, she hasn't got a strict dad. And then Peter Kavinsky is like, "Oh, better leave now, because of your curfew." It's like, she's going to college next year. Why is this bitch still got a curfew? Weren't you surprised by that?
I was actually quite surprised by that, because I was like, she's literally gonna be moving out in like a few months. Like, I don't,
yeah.
Like, what time does she have to be home by? Like 11? I don't know. But I mean, I guess maybe if it's a school night.
But still, no, I didn't have a curfew when I was in like my last year of high school. Like what? Like, I never had a curfew.
Neither did I. But I couldn't really go out on weeknights because we lived in the middle of nowhere. A curfew is such an American concept, though.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's in like every American teen movie or TV show. They're always like, "Oh, better not break curfew," and then they get grounded if they do. I don't know if American parents really parent like that, but no one I grew up with, like, grounded isn't like a concept really in Ireland. Like, it's not. No. I guess your parents might, if they were angry with you, they would stop you from going to like one party, or like stop you from going out for one weekend maybe, but like no one ever uttered the words "you're grounded," you know. It's so American.
Yeah, poor American teens are always like stuck in their gigantic rooms and people have to climb in through windows, like,
yeah, you know, or going to school at 7 a.m on a Saturday for detention. It's either one or the other.
But this bit's kind of boring anyway, because then I thought this was going to be the whole movie. It sets you up for like, oh no, the whole movie is her lying to Peter Kavinsky.
That's what I thought too.
So he's super enthusiastic and she doesn't tell him for ages, but then she does tell him in the end.
Very soon into the movie, when there's still an hour left. So when they go on the school trip to New York.
But then she got into Berkeley.
Yes.
So then he's like, "Hey, no worries. You can like go to Berkeley 1 year. And then transfer to my school." And
I love your impression of him. I love your impression of him.
And she's like, "Oh yeah, okay, sure, yeah." Because they're also planning on being together forever. Their high school boyfriend, this is what annoys me, Gemma. Their high school boyfriend and girlfriend, they've never had sex. Not that there's a, not that you need to have sex, but it's such a childlike relationship and you're planning your whole life.
I know. And but didn't you do that with someone at that age though? Or like think that you were going to be together with someone forever?
No, because I was sort of seeing this guy and then I already planned to fuck off to France and then Rome. So no.
Yeah, Heather's always been a free spirit. Heart and soul of a traveler.
I'm like that Chris friend, the EDM girl. That's me.
Yeah, that's Heather in her big hat and her EDM concerts.
Love David Guetta. But that's what annoys me. I'm not invested in the relationship, so therefore the problem that arises in this whole movie, like, oh no, will we go to the same school? I care so little about that. Because I'm also thinking it's very, not unhealthy, but why should you stay with your high school boyfriend? You know what I mean? It's like Sisterhood of Traveling Pants 2.0. Like, there's more to life, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. And these movies never, like, show that there is more to life. They never, like, even The Kissing Booth, like, when I watched the first Kissing Booth, my one, like, one positive thing of the movie, the one bit of praise that I had for that film was that at the end, when he goes off to college, it looks like that's it. And they don't stay together. Like, that's like before they knew that it was going to be a sequel, that's how they kind of made it look in the ending. And I was like, yeah, you know what, that's good because it's realistic and like a lot of teen movies end like this. Then they went and fucking ruined it by bringing back the sequel where Noah's like, whatever, they're still together and she goes to Boston or whatever. But you know what happened at the end of that movie? Does she decide to go to a different school? I can't remember.
No, she pretends to not know that she pretends to not know where she got in, but she got into
several colleges. Okay, right, different movie, but they all kind of blend into one with these Netflix ones.
So. Oh yeah,
I'm imagining Lara Jean and Peter in the rap house. It's like all I'm all over the place. Is Molly Ringwald in this movie or the other one?
You know what? Actually, like in this movie, there's a side plot of they're bowling together again. Such a sexless date to have when you're 18 and you've been going out with your boyfriend for 2 years. But anyway, go bowling, whatever. So quirky. Noah Centineo's dad shows up.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever. So enjoy your other family. And I went, wait, isn't his dad supposed to be poor and nice? And I was like, oh no, that's the other Noah Centineo movie that is so boring. Like, I was so confused. The Perfect Day. I was like, wait, isn't his dad meant to be a good guy? What happened?
Well, yeah.
Blend into one.
No, it was the mom who left him in that film. Because, you know, there's got to be one parent dead or estranged, as we know. Noah Centineo can never have two parents, okay? That would be fucked up. If he had, if he came from, a loving, unbroken home, stable. That would just be, that would be messed up. Like, he would not have the depth that he acquires from having divorced parents.
Because now he's into Oasis and shit, which also surprised me.
Oh my god, I forgot about the Oasis thing. Oh my god, fuck me.
Hey man, listen to Oasis. She's like, no. I'm like, wait, Oasis made it to the States? Also, what a weird band to use.
So this is very funny. So one of the kind of threads running through the film is that they're looking for what is their song.
Oh my god. I forgot about that.
So they're looking for what is their song and they can't decide. And he says, I shared a playlist with you on Spotify. Or an album. He's like, it's called Morning Glory by Oasis. And I just shrieked, as in, like, it's just so funny to me that, like, some American teen would, like, discover Oasis and be like, wow, this is a really cool band that no one my age knows about. And then she's like, he's like, haven't you ever listened to Oasis before? And she's like, not if I can help it. I just thought that was so funny. And I was wondering if, like, some American teenagers who probably have never heard of Oasis are gonna Oasis are now gonna get a huge spike in Spotify activity from the Two All the Boys I've Loved Before bump. Also crazy that they actually allowed their music to be used in this film. That's very funny to me as well.
Oh yeah, they're gonna need the money.
Fucking sellouts. Liam Gallagher, we're talking to you. It was probably Noel's
fault. But to be fair, okay, Oasis. Oh no, Noel's my favorite. No, the nice. Well, anyway, I recently listened to one of their Desert Island Discs, and I really liked the guy. I think it was maybe Noel.
I think it was probably Noel. He's known for being the nice one. I was making a joke about how Liam blames him for everything.
Oh, okay. Sorry, the Americans are not gonna get that joke. But so I recently listened to Noel's Desert Island Discs. Great podcast, by the way.
Yes.
Then I was like, wait a minute, I don't know any Oasis. I only know the hits. You know what I mean? Like, I only know, the classics. And I listened to all the whole album. I was like, it's a bit shit, isn't it? the hits I like. You know, so Wonderwall, if someone starts playing Wonderwall, you go, ah. But then you can't help join in.
Into it. Yeah, it's true. I'm not too familiar with, the B-sides myself. We're a Fairweather fan, but she does eventually listen to Don't Look Back in Anger, and my god, does she get into it. We need to go back to the actual plot of this film. So they have plans. He's going to Stanford, she's going to Berkeley. They're only going to be an hour away from each other, but lo and behold, on the school trip in New York, her and Chris run into Jen, who's the mean girl from the last movie. And she's getting a tour of the NYU campus from, a senior at NYU who must be what the fuck are the, why do these little 18-year-olds, hanging around me? She invites them to a party, which is, oh my god,
insane.
Not not, I don't think, I'm pretty sure even at NYU this wouldn't be like a student party. It's like the kind of party that you see in like rom-coms. Like
the city.
Where, yeah, or like Sex and the City, like where it's like, you know, late 20s rich professionals like rent out a loft bar and for like cocktails and live music. Yeah, loads of like little fairy lights outside on the roof. And you know, you've seen this scene like a million times in movies and TV, so hopefully you can picture what we're talking about. But yeah, that's apparently a student party, and then she sees this girl singing a song and it's like, will you be my beginning, my middle, my end? I'm not gonna sing it. Will you be my beginning, my middle, my end? She's like, that's our song. And then she goes back to the hotel and she's like, Peter, I found our song. And he's like, oh, I wanted to be there or something. I don't know. Who cares? He doesn't want it to be their song. She falls in love with New York that night. She like rides the subway. They have to help people move a couch for some reason. She sees like, you know, the hustle and bustle of the city. And she's like, whoa, New York City, baby. She's in that Empire State of Mind.
Okay. Calm down. But it's wild that she's hanging out with these seniors. Shouldn't the seniors be like, hey, shouldn't you get back to your hotel? Like, they're 18. Why are these 24-year-olds hanging out with these 17-year-olds?
I know. And also, why don't they get in trouble for, like, leaving the...
Staying out all night.
Yeah, leaving the school trip group and, like, staying out all night. No one seems to notice. But, yeah, she falls in love with the place. She has, like, a conversation with one of the college girls. He's like, oh, yeah, I thought I was going to be with my college boyfriend forever, too. And, you know, that kind of, like, freaks her out and stuff. But she's kind of, like, into the idea of going to NYU. And then she just decides to go, I guess. Or she goes home and she finds out that she got in.
Are they going to stay together or not? Or what happens next, Gemma? Does it happen? They go to prom. They go to prom.
So they haven't had sex. So that's kind of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah. So she talks to Chris. Like, weirdly, her best friend doesn't know that they haven't had sex. Like, I feel like in teen... movies or any, like, especially like when you're a teen girl and you have like your one best friend, they are gonna know like the second that you lose your virginity. But for some reason, I guess Chris was like too like yoked off her face at some EDM concert.
Yoked is so Irish.
Sorry.
That means ecstasy, listeners who are not from Ireland.
To keep up with like Lara Jean's sex life, but she's shocked to discover that Lara Jean and Peter haven't done it. And it's kind of the thing that it kind of annoys me is that like Lara Jean doesn't really seem to like want
sex.
To. Yeah. It's not in the movie. It's not like she's like kind of thinking about it other than at the time when Chris is like, well, it's prom. There's something kind of romantic about losing your virginity at prom. And then it's kind of like she's like, oh yeah, I guess that would be like the right time to do it. Or I don't know. It's weird. Like, she's a very desexualized person.
It's also weird. Like, she's planning her life around a boy she's been going out with for, I don't know, a year.
Yeah.
She's never had sex with. So like, it's strange. Just go to New York.
So unrealistic. Yeah.
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 Like, you shouldn't have sex if you don't want to, obviously. And you don't have, you can wait as long as you fucking want, but.
You're not really in an adult relationship until you do.
True. There's such a big part of being in a relationship. It's not the most important part, but it's a big part of it. Should you really, like, go to a school you don't really want to go to for, like, someone you even had sex with?
Like, she has, like, fantasies of them, like, living together. And, like, being married, having a beautiful house, and having a baby. But, like, the, like, intimacy of, like, how they would get there. Like, she doesn't seem to want the... She sees the sex kind of, like, as a means to an end. And when I was in school, there was a lot of, like... There was so much weird, like, internalized misogyny that girls had where, like, sex was kind of seen as, like... a means to an end, as in like something that you gave away to get something in return, which was a boyfriend. So the sex wasn't supposed to be what you wanted. The relationship was supposed to be what you wanted, but you had to give that in order to get it. I never really bought into that because I love sex. but I feel like that. I feel like the movie kind of slightly, like, I don't know. It kind of slightly portrays her in that way because she just doesn't seem that like excited about it, you know.
But also when we are skipping ahead now, but the prom bit's kind of boring anyway. When she she goes back to hers. Oh, Gemma, don't spoil. No, but they go back to hers and he's like, what about your curfew? And she's like, just don't get caught. And you're like, ooh, sexy time is about to happen. she looks like Audrey Hepburn in like My Fair Lady in that dress. Mm. She looks bizarre. Like, Chris again looks quite cool. Costumes Chris for her. I want that wardrobe. Yeah,
yeah, me too. I thought it was very you, actually. You'd look great.
It's a bit me, isn't it? Yeah, thanks, pal. They start kissing and it gets a bit not heated. They're just making out, which you haven't actually seen him do before.
Exactly.
It's very like, cutesy, kissy, cookies,
milkshakes,
cupcakes, milkshakes,
bowling. All the sweet foods.
You never even see them make out. Like, I'm not bothered by the fact that it never had sex because I never did in high school either. I'm not like, oh, that's weird to wait until you're older. But it's, as a viewer, and then they suddenly start kissing, it made me feel very uncomfortable because it feels like you're watching children kiss. And then she's like, what really struck me is that she tries to open his trousers and then he goes, wait, are you sure? And I'm like, well, does opening someone's trousers mean you have to like have penetrative sex?
Yeah, have they not done anything apart from kissing? Like, that's like, there's usually things that you do in between kissing and sex, but not in movies. In movies, everyone kisses for like 10 seconds and then they're immediately inside each other and orgasming like 10 seconds later. But like, that kind of implies, that like they've because Heather, she says in the middle of the film that he's never seen her naked.
What? I missed that. That's wild.
Yeah,
that
she says, she tells Chris that he's never seen her naked. It's like their relationship is like too perfect for sex, you know? Because that's something that you can't put on Instagram.
You could.
But. I mean, yeah, you could. But yeah, that's not what their relationship is for. It's for like the cookies and milkshakes side of things.
But this is the only part that I liked is when he stops her and he's like, are you sure? Wild. You could just, what happened to just doing hand jobs, people? Or, you know, a bit of fondling.
Yeah, exactly.
Opening trousers are not equal penetrative sex straight away.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's kind of weird that they like haven't seen the first time that they're going to see each other naked is when they're going to fully have sex, you know what I mean?
But what I did like about that scene is that they finally have a true kind of chat that seems meaningful rather than just silly flirty banter. He's like, so I forgot what he said, but he kind of breaks up with her because he's voice of the people. He's like, you're moving 1,000 miles away, how do you think this is gonna last? Good question, because it's not like you're moving an hour away. Your states are the size of a whole continent.
Yeah.
That's like having a boyfriend in fucking, you know, south of Morocco or whatever. Yeah, would never last. That's unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Exactly. It is. That's why it's... Well, I mean, we all know how this movie ends. If you don't, like, get a clue. But, like, it is ridiculous that it does end this way. Because, yeah, they're like a 5-hour flight away from each other.
That's so far. That's, like, I would never go out. Like, my long distance were always, like, London to Amsterdam. Or like Glasgow to Amsterdam. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
An hour away, even that was shit.
Yeah, exactly. So. But like they're in the same country, but like literally couldn't be further away from each other. Also, the people in teen movies are like very privileged. Like clearly money is not really a huge problem for them.
We already,
But like if if you were from like a normal family, I mean, it's a struggle, I mean, to go to college at all in America, let alone out of state, let alone have a boyfriend like on the other side of the country that you would then need to like go and visit all the time, you know, like there's so much, like there's a huge question about like, you know, this is like portrayed as aspirational, and it's a huge part of it is because they're rich. That's like why they have the opportunity to make it work. Or whatever, like a lot of people just couldn't do that.
I guess this movie's a bit like Bridgerton in a way, that it's just so unrealistic. It's meant to be yeah. escapism.
Yeah, I guess so, it's, yeah.
Nothing makes sense. It's too, the filter is too colorful. Ali's right. It's just the aesthetic, the whole relationship, everything is, yeah, it's too, the maid.com couches at the wedding.
Oh my god. Everything's too,
the dad finding love with the neighbor. Like, it's, even Kitty getting a Korean boyfriend, and, but then they break up because Noah Centineo is like, sorry, Peter Kavinsky. Should break up now instead of 4 months from now. Good point.
Yeah, it is.
So I was like, I was on his side in this argument or thing.
Yeah.
And then she's really sad.
The next day or something is like her dad's wedding.
Oh yeah, he doesn't come.
He doesn't come. They have the wedding. Then like at the end, like in the evening, she's sitting inside with Kitty. And then Kitty's like, I think he left something out in the tent. You should probably go and get it. And she goes out there and he's like written a huge paragraph to her in her yearbook about how much he loves her and how they're going to make it work. This, I believe, is after like one day. And I would be so angry that he let Same. Me go through my dad's wedding, spoiled that whole day, and then decided yeah. like at the end to say that he wanted to get back together. Oh my god, I would be so fuming mad. Of course she's just like, oh Peter, like I'm so happy that you wanted to get back with me, but like that's like a really special day for her family that was like completely ruined yeah. for her because she thought that she got dumped. I felt really bad for her in that instance.
Same.
Yeah, why couldn't he have come sooner with his stupid yearbook speech or whatever?
She texts him like, no, he says something like, do you still want me to come to your dad's wedding? And she texts back saying, if we're broken up, maybe it's better not to. And he goes, tell your dad I said congrats. Like, so harsh. Like,
I know.
And then he decides, what, during the day, that he's like, I'll get back with her. Yeah, I'd be fucking furious.
I know, it's so, it's so weird. It's so like, it's such a half-hearted ending as well. It's like, they broke up for one day, then he changed his mind, so they're back together. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, nothing made him change his mind. Like, he just thought about it for a while, and he was like, actually, I kind of do want to be with her. You know what I mean? It's like, they were like, how do we end this? He just changed his mind. It's like, no thought put into that part of the plot whatsoever.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm sorry, Covey, like, I got spooked, you know, but I believe in us, so yeah, we'll make it work. Like, come on, you're 8. I'm screaming at the television at this point, like, you're 18. Break up. You are going to break up anyway.
Yeah, it'll be easier if you just do it now, believe me, rather exactly. than trying to stay together through college, wasting thousands of dollars on airfares going between, like, New York and California. Just do it now!
That's what I thought. It'll be so much more realistic. Yeah. Like, but maybe in America, people do stay with their high school boyfriends more. I don't know.
I guess, but I feel like that's when people stay in, like, the same small town, you know? Not when you're in, like, yeah. the two pretty much, exactly. like, biggest cities in the States, like, on opposite sides of the world from each other, like...
Yeah, and also you want to discover new things, like, going exactly. to college is about... Imagine going to loads of parties. Even I had that when I moved to Berlin, and I was hanging out with all these new people, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I have a boyfriend. I don't know, I was flirting with all these guys,
exactly.
and I
was just having It just doesn't work.
No.
I broke up with my high school boyfriend, I think, about 3 weeks into college.
Oh, really?
Sean, if you're listening.
Oh.
No, we're still really good friends. Just in case you guys hadn't guessed how it ended.
They stay together.
They stay together. She goes to New York. He goes to Stanford. You see her, like, putting up her pictures of him in her perfect apartment.
That her dad's like, paid for. Her gynecologist dad. She ends it with a... You'd think, like, most couples are not going to make it work. But we're not most couples. We're Lara Jean and Peter. Whoa, sorry. Who the fuck made you so fucking special? Like,
I know, Heather. Oh my god. I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, that's kind of insulting to like, anyone who is, like, watching this. And they've, like, maybe they've just been through that experience. So it's like... Yeah, sorry, you couldn't make it work because you weren't Lara Jean and Peter. We're special.
The most boring couple ever.
I was like,
ever.
Shut the fuck up. In Same. My head, they broke it. I invent my own ending where they break up after like 2 months.
Same. Because like, he cheats on her or something. Someone who doesn't yeah. have sex. No, I'm just, exactly. That's so rude.
Exactly. It was such a bad ending. Oh my god. Wow.
I already touched on this, that I'm bored because it's drama that I can't relate to. Like, I'm out here being 30. Have I mentioned that I'm 30? You know, struggling with this pandemic shit. Like, you know, with my, I'm living with my boyfriend of 3 years. I couldn't care less about some teenager being like, oh no, my high school boyfriend. I want to stay together. I'm like, wake up to the fucking reality, LJ. Like, who cares? You'll find some other hot guy. Like, why is... Also, you never see them have good conversations. You saw that maybe in the first movie when, you know, he talked about his dad or whatever.
Yeah, it's just
them having fun. It's like, we get it. They have fun, but it's shit.
It's like the opposite of Twilight, where you only ever see them, like, being tortured and, like, wanting to die over their love for each other. I watched New Moon last night, by the way, or the night before.
Is that the second one?
Yeah.
What happens? Really, is that fun. When she tries to throw herself off a cliff the whole time?
It is. It's so, so, so good. Robert Pattinson's like, people are starting to get suspicious because we look older than 17, and then he wears a suit to school. It's like, great job, Robert Pattinson, making yourself look like a teen. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so should we do bingo?
Let's do bingo. Let's go for it.
Trip's over.
Yes.
Does she?
Well, no, but she does in other movies. She's just a clumsy, like, silly girl.
She's a klutz. Well, if she didn't actually trip over in this movie, can we give it to her?
Yeah, it's all the same franchise, come on.
Alright, whatever. Dead parent, yes. Her mom's still dead. Hollywood dad, yes, he's still a Hollywood dad.
Paying for expensive weddings and shit.
Yeah, paying for an expensive wedding, then paying for her to go to college in New York, her sister to go to college in Scotland.
Katie to go to Korea, whatever, yeah. Spend.
Matching turquoise baking tools for Lara Jean. sexual assault?
No.
This movie is way too clean for that. Mean Girl Redemption, yes. She's like gonna, like, that's kind of what's hinted at, is that, like, her and Jen are gonna be, like, really good friends again now because they're both going.
Why would you be friends with Jen? She was so rude. Like, if someone was that rude to me, I wouldn't just be friends with them after. I'd be like, fuck you, drop dead.
I guess they kind of made up in the last movie, though, when they were in the treehouse together.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So I was like, why is she nice? But yeah, anyway, carry on.
Blanket heteronormativity. No, there is the one gay character in all of these films. Yeah, our friend Trevor.
Yeah.
Is that his name? No. Trevor's the guy that Chris gets with. I can't remember the gay guy's name.
Doesn't matter.
Dream bedroom. Yes. She has such a dreamy bedroom. It's like incredible. All part of the aesthetic of this film. Makeover scene. No. Crazy Teen Ranger?
No.
No, but Lara Jean could do with one. She's fucking loosened up, have a drink and a cigarette. annoying sibling? Yes! To the max. We hate Kitty so much.
Kitty, I just want to punch her in a fucking stupid face. What's with her hair in this movie as well? She just wears pigtails. Aren't she meant to be like 13 at this point? Wear your hair normal, you stupid teen.
And she's talking about, like, Harry Potter and stuff. It's just cringe. Prom? Yes, they have their prom. They, you know, don't have sex, but they do have sex in the end, by the way.
Oh yeah, we forgot about that. Like, they have sex, but it's the most, like, movie sex I've ever seen. It's like kissy kissy, next scene them lying in bed. They completely skipped over any awkward, painful. It's just like, it was delightful. There's probably glitter and butterflies who, like, brought your penis into me. It's just like the most unrealistic sex ever. For a first time.
Yeah, it is like.
Were you
very
even
much...
turned on, LJ? Have you ever masturbated before this? Come on, the fuck.
She just looks completely perfect when it's over. Like, sitting there looking at him with, like, not a hair out of place. No. It's just like, God, this film is so committed to the aesthetic. Yeah. Like, it can't even give them, like, some realistic sex hair. So you're throwing away your dream.
No,
not really, even though it is all about college. Quirky male friend.
Yeah.
I think her gay friend is the quirky male friend, yeah. 15.
Okay, we look how much the other one scored.
The first one also got 15. We called it PS I Still Love Boys, that's why I couldn't find the second one. And the second one got 17. So the second one is actually, the second one's the, which I would vote is the worst one, is also the highest bingo scorer. Heather, what do you think was the worst one?
Oh, this one.
Do you
agree
that it was the second one?
No.
Do you think it was this one?
Yeah. At least,
really?
At least the second one had sassy old people in it. It wasn't it wasn't old Peter Kavinsky and LJ having like cutesy like fun times together. It was also like the other guy who also disappeared in this movie. So
yeah, so true. What happened to John Ambrose? When guys like parts are done in these films are just like tossed on the Netflix trash heap. Like, you're fired.
We'll never
go
speak
find
about
another
you
streaming
again.
Service to leech off. Yeah. So I disagree. I think the second one is the worst. It's just so fucking ugh.
No, this one is way worse. Like, she decides to like, she has unrealistic plans with her stupid boyfriend. A, B, she then decides to like mess up these plans because she falls in love with New York over a fucking weekend. Like, shouldn't you base your like extreme decision a bit? Like, I agree with her that you should do your own thing, move away. New York is great. Like, you fall in love with the city over a weekend. Like, after you've been to one amazing party, that is unrealistic as well. Probably never happens. You know what I mean? It's like, she really base.
I feel like every city that I've ever been to, I've been like, I could live here. And then it's not just that. It's the fact that she then gets accepted into NYU, like, immediately after. Like, that's like a perfect storm of events, you know? Like, when you're a teenager, you're very easily influenced by stuff like that. And probably, like, a little bit more impulsive as well. And I could definitely see myself like going to New York for a weekend, falling in love with it. And then like a week later, you're told that you can go there. I would do that now.
I would do that now.
Yeah.
I love New York.
I mean, come on, you moved to Berlin after like, well, how much consideration?
Not a lot. Someone told me like, you should move to Berlin. And I just went, okay. And I had a boyfriend in Glasgow and I was like, see ya. Let's move to Berlin together.
What are you doing judging Lara Jean then?
Because Glasgow and Berlin is like an hour flight again. And he was supposed to move with me. And then I moved there on my own. I was like, I like being on my own. I wish I could kiss all these boys I'm befriending. And then, I broke up with him. So found another boyfriend, moved to Amsterdam. I was like, you should join me here. And then had no time to kiss boys because then Tone moved here straight away.
P.S. She still loves boys though.
P.S. I still love boys.
That is how we're going to end the episode,
yes,
guys.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
P.S.
Thank
we both still love boys, always and forever.
P.S. Jeremiah, I still love you.
Oh, Heather, I still love you too.
Please leave a 5-star review for us on iTunes and tell your friends to listen. I think that's what I like the most. That could be a birthday gift for me. Turning 30, feeling dirty.
Yes.
Wanting people to listen to us, feeling flirty.
If you want to give Heather and if you want to give both Heather and I a February birthday gift, because both our birthdays are this month, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends to listen to us.
Yes. Yeah. And tell your friends not to watch this movie because it's shite.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.